Good day, and welcome to the Regis Resources quarterly briefing. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the star one again. For operator assistance throughout the call, please press star zero. And finally, I would like to advise all participants that this call is being recorded. Thank you. I'd now like to welcome Jim Beyer, Managing Director and CEO, to begin the conference. Jim, over to you.
Thanks, Paulie, and good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us on the Regis Resources December 2022 quarter update. Joining me this morning is Anthony Rechichi, our CFO, and Stuart Gula, our COO, and Ben Goldbloom is sitting with us as well. The December quarter was another one of reliable delivery to plan for Regis. First, on safety, our LTIFR, Lost Time Injury Frequency Rate, was steady and well below the industry average, sitting at 0.6. You know, as we always say, the health and well-being of our people continues to be a focus of the company. And I would say that in this period where we're certainly seeing elevated levels of turnover, that the challenge continues to be in front of us as to making sure we can maintain that safety performance. We're very pleased to release, also during the quarter, we were very pleased to release the 2022 sustainability report, which saw another year of improvements. And while on sustainability progress, the installation of our 9-megawatt solar farm at Duketon South is on track, and we're expecting it to be commissioned in the June quarter. This will be a very beneficial initiative as it both reduces our carbon emissions and also results in direct power cost savings through the reduction of fuel consumed per tonne processed at the DSO mills. Across the business, we saw gold production delivered a plan as the transition of our assets into their production stages, some of our assets into their production stages. We're very pleased with the progress, which we've now delivered three quarters in a row of reliable production. Pardon me. For the December quarter overall, we produced 117,316 ounces of gold for an all-in sustaining cost of 1760 an ounce, that is Aussie dollars. The elevated cost environment continued in the quarter. However, we have seen some recent easing of this pressure in the area of cost of diesel, pleasingly. With the planned increase in production and a continued effort on cost management, we remain on track to deliver production guidance, but we are expecting that our AISC will be at the top end of our guidance range. With the approval of Garden Well Main exploration decline, which we announced earlier, and some short-term delays in declaring commercial production at Garden Well Underground and also at Havana, we have increased our growth capital guidance up to a range of 180 to 190 million for this year. In line with the outlook of increasing production and reducing AISC and CapEx overall, cash generation is forecast in the second half and improve in the second half of this year, FY23. Look, I'd now like to hand over to Stuart Gula, our CEO, who I introduced earlier, who will briefly cover the operational performance. Over to you, Stuart.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the promotion. I think I'm only the CEO.
What did I call you?
But I appreciate that. But looking more closely at the operations, Duketon lifted to 82,000 ounces at an AISC of $2,000 an ounce. During the quarter, while Tropicana remained steady at 35,000 ounces at an AISC of $1,119. Duketon North had lower production at 17,000 ounces, which was at 2,959 due to higher strip ratios and waste movements associated with bringing forward Stage 3 at Gloucester, which we had to do more aggressively than what was originally planned due to some ground conditions. Cash margins at Duketon North will improve in the second half of the year as strip ratios decrease, overall material movement will drop, and ore production is expected to increase as well. Duketon South increased to 65,000 ounces at an AISC of $1,757 an ounce as ore presentation improved in the open pits and grades in the underground returned close to reserve grades, which is as per the schedule. At Gardenwell South, we had our first production stope firing, and it was delivered to the mill, and we're expecting underground ore tonnes to increase as the year progresses. The team continues to work through the typical challenges associated with starting up a new mine, and we expect that commercial production will be achieved in the second half of this year. While on Gardenwell Underground, during the quarter, we released our biannual exploration update. And you'll note that the results we're seeing in the Duketon South Underground mines continue to reinforce the consistency of both ore bodies and our belief that these mines will grow both laterally and at depth. The underground operations at Duketon South remain a key focus and are expected to deliver significant value as they continue to grow. Across the Tropicana, we delivered a steady quarter at 35,000 ounces for an AISC of $1,119 an ounce. The underground mine provided a reliable gold production during the quarter, and as we extend it deeper, all indications are that the ore bodies continue down plunge and in a consistent manner. Open pit mining activity was completed in the Boston Shaker pit during December, and going forward, we expect open pit feed will be from Havana pit and supplemented from stockpiles. So this achievement of commercial production will see growth capital drop away and a commensurate change in AISC. That's it from me. I'll now hand back to Jim.
Thanks, Stuart. Bad news, you're back to COO. look, just before I pass on to Anthony, I just wanted to make a comment on Tropicana. We were very pleased with the building cash flow generating capacity at Trop. It is, delivering and performing as we had anticipated when we purchased it back in the middle of 21. Tropicana has returned now in the last quarter at its an annualised production rate of 480,000. And so in fact, it's been sitting there for the last 6 months. And I just point out that while it's sitting at that level, when we first picked it up, it was operating over the first three or four quarters that we had it at, circa a little bit over 400,000 ounces per annum. So Tropicana is doing exactly what we anticipated it would do and build its production rate up to that, back up to that 450 to 500,000. Obviously, that's all at 100%. The phrase gets thrown around a lot in our game, in our industry. But Tropicana truly is a long-life Tier 1 asset in a Tier 1 location and sits, we are pleased to say, very nicely in our portfolio. So now I'd ask Anthony Rechichi, our CFO, to summarise the financial points for the quarter.
Thanks, Jim. On to the financials for the quarter. We sold 121,000 ounces of gold at an average price of $2,412 an ounce. And that's after the effects of the hedges. This generated a total of $93 million in operating cash flow, with approximately $36 million from Duketon and $57 million from Tropicana. Operating cash flows from the operations does remain strong. Capital expenditure payments during the quarter were $77 million. We saw about $61 million of growth capital, of which the majority of this expenditure related to the development of the Gardenwell Underground and the Havana Cutback. As both of these projects reach commercial production in the second half of the year, growth capex reduces, similar to what Stuart was talking about earlier. In other significant transactions, referring back to the quarterly report, if you take a look at Figure 3, the companies paid $15 million in dividends and also received $20 million for the sale of a rural property in New South Wales related to McPhillamys. Now, I want to cover the tax refund opportunity we've noted in that quarterly report, where there's clearly an opportunity for us to return more cash to our balance sheet. As a bit of background information, one of the government's economic incentives in response to COVID was to allow companies to use a loss carryback tax offset arrangement, whereby tax losses can be used to offset taxable income in recent financial years. The losses applied against that previous taxable income effectively reduces the tax required to have been paid in those years, and hence a cash refund is paid back to the company for the difference. Now, having said that, during the year ended 30 June 22, Regis incurred $52 million of tax losses. That's at the 30% company tax rate.
Applying those losses back to taxes we paid for the 2019 and 20 year, we are eligible for a refund under these pronouncements. The final amount of the tax losses we can retrospectively apply, and the election to trigger a refund under the temporary provisions will be finalised with the lodgement of the company's 30 June 22 tax return in the March 23 quarter. We're nearing the completion of that work and looking to identify any more expenditure that will further bolster the available refund amount. So in summary, with increasing gold production, decreasing all-in sustaining costs and capex in the second half of the year, we expect a significant improvement in cash generation compared to the first half. Thanks, and back to you, Jim.
Thanks, Anthony. Look, I'll touch on growth. Our growth projects have made some good progress during the quarter. Stuart's already covered the progress at Garden Well South Underground, which is very pleasing to see. The Garden Well Main Underground Exploration Decline, which we mentioned earlier as well, we've now completed a bit over 240 metres heading towards the north, and we're expecting that the first diamond drilling program or cutties will be kicked off during the March quarter, so with some results expected a month or so after that. We remain very excited about the potential growth of Garden Well Underground and are expecting this to deliver some significant value for the company. We're also seeing some very pleasing potential at South Rosemont, or what we call the south end of the Rosemont Underground. And if you have a look at figure 5 in the release, you can see the area we're talking about and some of the, I won't go through the intercepts that that we've highlighted there, but clearly there's great potential for a new production area at the south end of Rosemont. And the underground story at Tropicana is very similar to that at Duketon. If you see figure 6 in the release, you can see the latest new potential area that we see down plunge of the already existing Tropicana mining area, the underground Tropicana. That's also, of course, in addition to the potential that we're seeing at Boston Shaker. The results outlined in our biannual exploration update released back in November further reinforced the potential to grow on the existing pans, both laterally and down plunge, at all our underground operations. At McPhillamys, we achieved a major approvals milestone with the New South Wales Department of Planning and Environment, the DPE, referring the project to the Independent Planning Commission of New South Wales for final determination. The DPE did, in its statement, consider the project was approvable subject to conditions, and these conditions are in line with our expectations and not expected to materially impact the project, although we do note that they are still subject to finalisation by the IPC in the event that it finds a positive decision. Now, the next stage in the IPC process, because it already has kicked off, is the public submissions are currently underway. there's a portal where you can go and register your support for the project. It's either at the IPC website or if you go to the Regis Resources homepage, there is a link there that will take you to a place where you can make a positive submission, if you like, and read some more about the project. Now, the public hearings, which were originally scheduled for early December, which got delayed due to tragic circumstances with one of the IPC members passing away unexpectedly, it has been rescheduled for early Feb. In fact, it's about 2 weeks' time. I think it kicks off about 6th of February. And that will run for 3 days. That will be starting to see the wrap-up of the submissions, and then somewhere within 3 months of those hearings, we're expecting a final IPC recommended decision. Now, this is a very exciting phase for the project and a very quite a material one. It's been a long time where there's a decision soon, and we've seen that stretch, but we've actually got the recommendation by to go forward from DPE was quite a significant step, which I'm sure anybody on this line that's been listening to the story for the last few years realises and recognises. So wrapping up, what did the December quarter brought us? was another reliable quarter of production at both Duketon and Tropicana. Costs are elevated in the quarter, and we're continuing our efforts, and we're not Robinson Crusoe there. The general economic environment is putting a lot of pressure on all miners, and we're continuing our efforts on cost management. We are maintaining our full-year production guidance for the reasons that we outlined. However, we do expect, as I said, that our all-in sustaining costs will fall at the very top end of our guidance range. We saw significant milestones at Garden Well South underground and, as I just went through, at McPhillamys, and we've made some very good progress at the Garden Well exploration decline. The cost environment does remain elevated, but with our planned higher production, reducing our AISC, and our planned lower CapEx in the second half of the year, we're looking forward to some more free cash flow generation as the year progresses. So on that note, we'll pull it up and I'll hand it back to Paulie for questions. Thanks, Paulie.
Thanks, Jim. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from the line of David Coates from Bell Potter Securities. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Stu, for the opportunity to ask a question this morning, and good work on the quarterly. A couple of questions. So let's see. Tropicana, good steady performance, costs coming down. Duketon sort of steady again, but costs there still an issue, particularly at, Duketon North. You've run us through a couple of the issues there, but I'm just wondering if, what your thinking is on Duketon North. Are you prioritising production at Duketon South to kind of keep the wheels on at sort of the more important operation? There's sort of other factors there driving the costs higher at Duketon North.
Yeah, thanks, David. Touching first on Duketon North, and we do, they are two really, those two sites, North and South, are quite separate. The only real connection between the two is a shared airport, and also we have a line running between them to send water in either direction, depending on which area needs it. So I wouldn't say that we would be prioritising the south against the north or vice versa. Our philosophy and our drive with Duketon North is clearly the reserves there are currently starting to run down. At current reserve base, we will finish mining of open cut direct feed material this time next year, possibly even a little bit earlier than that. And then we run on to low-grade stockpiles for at least 2 to 3 years. So what we're seeing at Duketon North at the moment right now, it's almost on a month-by-month or quarter-by-quarter basis. The all-in sustaining costs are right up through the roof, as you can see, and that's because we're doing a lot of waste mining. Production levels are a little bit off. But it's the waste mining that's really pulling that all-in sustaining cost up to nearly $3,000 an ounce. What we are, and we're already seeing, is that the total material movement up at Duketon North starts to drop away. That immediately starts to, we've demobilised, I think we've already demobilised a digger up there, and so we'll see the gross spend drop off. We'll see the AISC start to lift as well, and then actually for some of the pits right at the in the final quarter in the June quarter, we actually start to overproduce ore and put it on the stockpile, which is something we haven't done up there for quite some time. So I think it's certainly Duketon North really is a story of we're working it to at the moment barely to wash its face. Keeping it running, it'll do okay on cash flow when it's running through those lower grade stockpiles. And really, it's to hold it in an operational state. It's not expected to make enormous amounts of cash flow, but it keeps it running. Last thing we want to do is unnecessarily close it and then reopen it again in a year's time because we've proven up some more reserves. So we're sort of holding that. We're trying to follow that. that pattern of keeping it running while we exploration continues to look for something material. But we're not doing that in a way that means we lose money. It's quite variable from quarter to quarter, just because it's in the tail end of its business, if you like. I hope that makes sense. Duketon South is quite a different story. Its improvements and lifting of its production come from the underground. Gardenwell South is just starting to, it's quite exciting there actually. We're doing a bit of stoping on the 8 and 9 level. Where 8 and 9 level is, that ore body, like a lot of our ore bodies up in that area, they tend to pinch and swell as they go down in depth. And the 8 and 9 levels, which are the first area of the underground, are right where it was pinching. So there weren't a lot of stopes there, and a couple of the ones we thought we were going to get just didn't carry. But we're now mining on the 10, 11 and 12 level, and we've drilled that out all to grade control, and we're very pleased with what we've seen there. It's really stacked up well. We've got multiple development headings in there because that area is down into the thick part of the ore body. We're not narrow vein sort of benching. We're actually transverse stoping, just as an indication of just how much how meaty these stopes are. And we've got a lot more headings in ore as well. So we're just getting into that now, and obviously that's where a fair chunk of the extra ounces for the second half come from. And Tropicana, look, Tropicana is in an interesting space at the moment. It's all in sustaining is certainly looking good. But as Stuart said, we are shifting and moving. As Havana comes online, we'll see it will declare commercial production. We're expecting that sometime in the next couple of months. As we do that, the expenditure that we're putting into the waste mining, which is defined as growth capital, will basically shift across into AISC, and we'll see a commensurate lift in the AISC. The key thing to note about Tropicana is that it's probably in the heaviest part at the moment of its waste, whether it's defined as growth or sustaining material movement. It's kind of irrelevant, and we like to think that we make it, how that's defined is less relevant, because we just make our numbers transparent. We don't, if it's not in growth, it's in sustaining. If it's not in sustaining, it's in growth. It's pretty easy to figure that out. But what we do see at Trop is, as we head into next year, the amount of material moved associated with Havana starts to drop away, not by a huge amount next year, but maybe 10 or 15%, something like that. But then it really starts to drop off as, the pit gets all its waste, breaks the back of all the waste mining, and just starts to become more, the strip ratio, instantaneous strip ratio drops. So, we see Trop will continue along its path. The production levels will increase a bit. The cash costs, the overall costs probably stay similar. It'll just shift. But over the coming next year or so, we'll see all the unit costs start to drop, which is really great, because that's what we were planning.
Thanks, Jim. You just answered my other questions. I did have one other. You have touched on it in the call, just around the cost environment. COVID disruptions and labour availability have been, and that disrupting production has essentially been a big driver of high costs across the sector. You mentioned diesel costs, easing. But are you starting to see those sort of COVID disruptions and labour availability and that sort of stuff also starting to ease as well and helping the cost outlook?
It's a mixed bag, Dave. We're not seeing some of the direct costs that we saw of COVID, where we were testing and time loss for all of that, but we're still seeing absenteeism. People are still getting COVID. They're still, as a result, getting crook, and they're not coming to work. We are seeing empty seats, and that is having an impact on production. It's technical side of things, it's okay, or in the in the office environment, it's, you know, people can still work from home and you can sort of roll with that punch. But if you don't have an operator on site to drive a truck, it just doesn't happen, you know. So yeah, we are still, it's not as bad as what it was. Yeah, you got an app for that, not yet. So it is, that continues to be, as I said, probably not as bad as it was, but it's still there and having an impact. I agree with that, Stuart?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The other question was, you know, generally what's happening with inflationary, you know, is another, the pressure's there, right? It's certainly not as bad as it was probably 4 months ago, and fuel by far was the biggest impact because of the flow on that has on our rise and fall contracts and probably just about everybody else, I would imagine. But pleasingly, you know, we have seen, you know, we were probably in the first half of this year, we were paying a bit over, I think it was $1.56, $1.57 on average for the first 6 months, and we're already, this month we're seeing it down to about $1.30. So it's softening, which is pleasing to see. You know, we've still got to, we're not out of the woods by any stretch. And I'm talking about the industry.
No, I'll pass it on. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad, and your next question comes from the line of George Eadie from UBS. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Just following my question was kind of the same as David on cost, but maybe just changing to Havana Link Drive, maybe just a timeline on that development, so when we start getting some exploration updates firstly, sir.
Look, Havana Link will be quite a while yet. I wouldn't be expecting too much coming from that this year. I think it's there and it's something that we and Anglo are certainly excited about, but it's in actual fact, some of the priorities have shifted back to the areas that I mentioned before because it looks to be a bit more prospective. That's not to say that the Havana Link has fallen off the edge of the earth. It's just a little bit lower down on the priorities at the moment. So, you know, we'll keep you informed with the progress there, but I'm certainly not expecting to see anything material in this year, this financial year.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Thanks, Jim. And just there as well in Tropicana, the full asset potential project. I know you guys spoke to productivity and cost improvements, but is there anything you can talk to a bit more detail there and how we should look at that going forward? Is there any even potential to look into other strategies to bring down costs at Duketon, similar to how Anglo looked at Trops?
Yeah, look, I think there certainly are some takeaways for us that we're thinking about. You know, we could, and I know that Stuart's been sort of giving that some thought as to what we could do to take the methodology and apply some of the concepts to Duketon. We've got, you know, at the moment, there's a lot of focus, quite frankly, on making sure that we're getting our undergrounds up and running, and that's the best thing that can add value and continue to add value to our business. The full asset potential at Tropicana, I think, was quite a successful process. It identified a couple of things. It probably identified that there wasn't a huge amount of low-hanging fruit. The guys at the team up there had already done a pretty good job of that, but it did result in a, you know, rethink of the overall strategy of the place, which also didn't come up with anything, I think, substantially out of whack. But, you know, it's a process that sort of forces you to go back and make sure that what you think is actually the right way to think. And we're having a look at that. And as we head into our reserves and resources re-estimation period over the next few months, we'll be looking to see what lessons of that assessment and scenario planning that we can look at in that area as well, and basically make sure we're still running on the right overall strategy.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Jim. So Garden Well updates coming in the March quarter. Will we get a resource reserve update for all assets then too?
Well, I think what I heard, the update, the drilling that we're going to be doing at Garden Well Main will be occurring during the March quarter. I'm not sure when we'll get the results for it. I doubt whether it'll be in the March quarter, and that'll only be, core results. It won't be any modelling or anything like that because it's pretty early, very early in the process. Our resource and reserves process is something that we sort of kicking off now, but we don't normally put our resource and a reserve update out until sometime in the June quarter, usually towards the back end of it. But so that's the timing that we follow there. I'm not sure if I answered your question, George.
That's perfect. It sounds like back half the year we'll get a bit more colour there on Garden Well and resource reserves coming through. So awesome. Thanks for that.
Yeah. The two, they won't be connected. As we get information and updates on Garden Well Main, we'll let the market know. It won't be tied in with the R&R release. Sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, on that we get the info from Garden Well Main.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Jim for closing remarks.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We know that it's been a pretty busy morning this morning with a few releases. No doubt a result of having Australia Day tomorrow. But, look, we thank everyone for joining us. As always, if you've got any follow-up questions, please drop us a line, get in touch with Ben, and we'll do our best to help you out. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.